You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Friday. We finally got here. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Friday, so we're not going to try to go super hard on the politics, but we have to start somewhere. And I want to start with this statement. These may seem like long weeks, with so much chaos and pain. And extraordinarily disorienting, at the very least. And they seem to be passing extremely slowly. But in no version of this universe are these days more painful than they are for Abrego Garcia, who remains illegally denied due process and sitting in one of the world's most dangerous prisons for no other reason than he is not white. If you don't know who I'm talking about, of course, Abrego Garcia is the man that the Trump administration illegally disappeared in the middle of the night, plopped on an airplane, defied court orders regarding such airplanes leaving the United States and flying to Honduras. Illegally deprived him of due process. A man who, again, whose only crime is the color of his skin and the spelling of his last name. A man who a federal immigration judge had ordered previously should never be deported or shall not be deported from the United States. Illegally denied due process, illegally grabbed in the middle of the night, slammed onto a plane that, again, the Trump administration ignored court orders regarding not one plane, not two planes, but three planes. And again, now sits in one of the most degrading, inhuman prisons on earth. Trust me, his days and the days passing for his family are worse than what we can imagine. And yet, we need to constantly, every day, be reminded of what is happening to him. And over the last, again, this week in particular, the Supreme Court's interventions in both Mr. Garcia's case as well as the bigger, the broader Alien Enemies Act case, which involved some 200 people being illegally deprived of due process. That, according to the Trump-stacked illegal, I shouldn't say illegal, the Trump-stacked corrupt, bought by billionaires Supreme Court. So I want to talk about this case and what has occurred in the last few hours as well as last evening before we get into some of the lighter topics for this afternoon. And we will lighten it up. It's Friday. We can't go into the weekend with just heaviness. So focusing just on Mr. Garcia's case, recall that the federal judge overseeing that case ordered the government to return Mr. Garcia to the United States by noon this past Monday. The Fourth Circuit, to which the government appealed, denied the government's appeal. And then Chief Justice Roberts, because they appealed to the Supreme Court, put that order on hold until the Supreme Court could more fully evaluate the Trump administration's request to suspend the requirement, the directive by the district court to return Mr. Garcia to the United States. And the Supreme Court issued a decision last night on that question. And I'm going to read you just the operative portion of that unsigned, unanimous, mind you, very few of those these days with the Supreme Court, but an unsigned unanimous opinion. Here's what it says. The district court's order remains in effect, but requires clarification on remand. The order properly requires the government to, quote, facilitate Abrego Garcia's release from custody in El Salvador and to ensure that his case is handled as it would have been had he not been improperly sent to El Salvador. The intended scope of the term, quote, effectuate in the district court's order is, however, unclear and may exceed the district court's authority. The district court should clarify its directive with due regard to the deference owed to the executive branch in the conduct of foreign affairs. For its part, the government should be prepared to share what it can concerning the steps it has taken and the prospect of further steps. In other words, the government is bound by the district court's original order to facilitate Mr. Garcia's return, but not necessarily to effectuate it. I mean, this is why people hate lawyers, isn't it? What's the difference between facilitate and effectuate? Well, facilitate means basically do everything you damn well can. And if facilitate doesn't also mean effectuate, it means do everything you damn well can, but you can't actually be compelled to, I don't know, invade El Salvador to go get this guy. That's what, right? You're supposed to do everything in your power. You screwed up. I've worked in government for a long time before I came to Civic Media. I made mistakes. Here's what happened when someone called me on my mistake. I'm sorry. Let me work on fixing that as quickly as possible. How about that? And I'll tell you this much. The mistakes I made when I worked in government didn't result in someone being in the most violent prison, in one of the most violent prisons in the world. One of the most unsafe, inhumane prisons in the world. I shouldn't call it the most violent. I don't know if you've not seen the pictures, but they are horrifying. Those weren't the stakes, but my response was always the same. I'm sorry, and I will fix that as quickly as I can. Why is that? Why is there not outcry from these constitutionalist Republicans, these strict constructionists of the Constitution, the Federalists? Where are those people going? Why isn't the government being accountable? Why aren't they acting in good faith? So it's very important. These different decisions over the course of this week got a huge piece right. Mr. Garcia, as well as all of the deportees, were all entitled to due process, and the Trump administration acted unconstitutionally in taking them away without due process. They got that right. But they have fallen so far short of understanding and dealing with the reality that while it has been a long-standing tenet of the legal system, of the practice of law in the United States, that the government is effectively assumed to both say things that are true and to act in good faith, that is a presumption, that is a tenet that simply and demonstrably, obviously, does not apply to the Trump administration. So, short of demanding that the Trump administration make sure this guy shows up, they need to do everything they can to make sure that Mr. Garcia is returned to the United States. That's what the Supreme Court ruled this after last night. And then Judge Innes had already scheduled a hearing for this afternoon where she was going to be asking them, what have you been doing to get him back? Where is he? Who has custody of him? Do you know what his health status is? What is your plan to bring her back? And what did the government do in that hearing? Told her nothing. So I just want everyone, just let's back up. This is a man whose only crime is the color of his skin and the way that his last name is spelled. A man who a federal immigration judge had said should not be deported, who the Supreme Court has confirmed was owed due process, who received none, who never should have left, that the Trump administration admits they deported and disappeared in error. And this case has been going on since mid-March. What do you mean they don't know and can't provide information to the judge that has been overseeing this case for a month? This has always been the point. Bring him back. Just operate in good faith. Tell the damn truth. Oh, yes, the lawyer that told the truth to Judge Innes is now on unpaid administrative leave, effectively fired for doing the right thing as a lawyer. So we are at a place where the Supreme Court, by delusion and corruption, cannot face facts about the leaders of the federal branch, the executive branch of government. And the number one leader of the executive branch of government, Donald Trump. They cannot face the truth. They aren't dealing with the reality that the courts cannot trust the things that are being said in the courts by Donald Trump's cabinet secretaries or lawyers. This is unprecedented in modern legal history, that government lawyers, whose highest function is to seek justice, not to win, not to further a political ideology, but to seek justice and to fight for the truth, cannot be relied upon federal court judges to tell the truth anymore. I'm going to explain what this means for regular people, for you and me, when we come back. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to this Friday edition of The Maggie Dawn Show. You're not going to want to go anywhere, because it matters. Keep it locked. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to get to some of the less political issues of the day in just a few minutes. Really excited. I've got Jacob Vanderplas, who helps run the Door County Farm for Vets, joining me at the end of the half hour. I want to talk in detail with Jacob about what the Door County Farm for Vets is all about. We're going to talk about the Farmer Angel Network, what you can do to learn more about and support their efforts. So impressed with his organization and his family farm. But right now, I've been sharing with you what is deeply concerning to me, continuing a discussion that we've been having all week that I dove into in great detail on Tuesday about the complete separation from reality that the conservative wing on the Supreme Court is demonstrating on a daily basis. University of Minnesota law professor Alan Rosenstein has wrote about the concern that I have in detail in a, he publishes a, on a blog called Lawfare, and he wrote about this just on Wednesday. And this is the question throughout history, government lawyers and government actors have generally been presumed to tell the truth, to operate in good faith. The Trump administration, its lawyers, and its leaders, including Donald Trump, are entitled to no presumption of truth-telling. And this is terrible for our legal system. They're entitled to no presumption of operating in good faith. And the reason that this is such an incredibly disastrous moment for us is not only are they lying and not operating in good faith, they could have had Mr. Garcia home. They screwed up. Why haven't they brought him home? We put Kristi Noem in the prison, got her back, no problem. El Salvador seems very happy to do Donald Trump's bidding. Like, put in the call. Hey, can you get this guy back to us? It's a 5-hour plane ride. This should have been done and over before the end of March. Why are they going to the mat on this? Because they feel unconstrained by the court system. And if a court system has to interrogate every factual representation made by a government lawyer in its courtrooms, if it cannot rely on government actors, on an executive branch administration, in good faith, trying to comply with its orders, we have chaos. Our government stops working. Can you imagine a court having to engage in effectively factual discovery and requiring proof of the most essential factual representations made to it by government officials? What? What happens if Marco Rubio signs an affidavit that gets put before Judge Innes in Mr. Garcia's case that says we can't do anything? And it just says that, sign Marco Rubio, now go kick rocks, federal court. Supreme Court, what are you going to do about that? Georgetown University law professor Stephen Vladek has said this, quote, the alarming possibility that this Supreme Court is not, in fact, ready to accept how profound a threat the Trump administration poses to the rule of law, not because the court is upholding what the government is doing. They've been ruling against the Trump administration nearly daily. The Supreme Court, yes, they get due process. This was illegal. You get my drift. Not because the court is upholding what the government is doing, but because a majority of the justices are willing to let the government win on procedural technicalities in contexts where the real world costs are increasingly severe. The deprivation of due process to hundreds of people. A man for now over a month has been sitting in one of the most inhumane prisons in the world. And the world's self-proclaimed greatest negotiator can't do a damn thing about it? These costs are mounting. If you're listening and you're an American, how high do the costs need to get before you say in word and deed and vote to Donald Trump and the folks in his administration that this isn't good enough? The Supreme Court has done nothing to support Judges Innes and Boasberg, who continue to get hammered daily by government officials when they are simply trying to find out if what the government is saying, one, get information from the government and then find out if it's true, because they can't trust Donald Trump's DOJ lawyers anymore. Justice Sotomayor closed her separate statement accompanying last night's ruling on Mr. Garcia's statement by suggesting this. In the proceedings on remand back to the district court should continue to ensure that the government lives up to its obligations to follow the law. maybe her colleagues on the Supreme Court should do the damn same thing. How long does the Supreme Court permit the Trump administration to lie, to obfuscate, and to undermine the most fundamental right in a democracy, the right to be heard, to object to your freedom being taken away by the government? When do they say you are not worthy of trust? When does the cost become too great? Are we all Judases? Meaning, unless I can touch it, unless it affects me, unless I can feel it and see it and taste it, I'm not going to care? Are we that selfish? I think we're better than that, Wisconsin. In fact, I know we're better than that. We come back. I'm going to try to take your calls really quickly. Then we're going to bring on our guest, Jacob Vanderplas. So Jack from Merrimack, Charles from Milwaukee, and the folks that have texted. I will take care of that. I want to hear from you. Then we'll introduce our guest, Mr. Vanderplas, to talk about the Door County Farm for Vets. Hopefully talk about some good things that are happening here in Wisconsin. Keep it locked, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday. If you've been listening to me for more than about 5 minutes, you know that when the big stuff goes down, I got to talk about it. We are going to get to more uplifting subject matter in just a moment, specifically with my very next guest, Jacob Vanderplas, who helps run the Door County Farm for Vets. But I want to conclude this discussion, take some of your texts and calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Civic, the Supreme Court seems utterly unconcerned or not even able to accept the possibility that the Trump administration may not always tell the entire truth or any bit of the truth or may conceal information that they actually owe the courts. Utterly unconcerned or even aware of the possibility that the Trump administration may not be acting in good faith. And the stakes are getting higher every single day. Mr. Abrego Garcia should have never been denied his due process. He should have never been put on a plane in the middle of the night. He should have never ended up in one of the most brutal prisons in the world. And he's been there for over a month. And the Trump administration could have put in a call. This case would have gone away. But instead, they're digging in and the situation is getting only worse. And our Supreme Court is like, oh, yeah, just send it back. Have a conversation with the district court. And today, the Trump administration said, no, we're not giving you the information that you want. The court said, well, we're going to have these hearings every day. Where does all of this go? And mind you, again, this is about due process. It is the right, in my opinion, as a lawyer, student of history and foreign policy, that due process, the right of the individual to object to the deprivation of individual freedom and liberty, to be heard by a court against their government, to object to the government's seizure of their property and or person, is the most fundamental. And a Supreme Court that won't stand up to an administration that doesn't respect that right guaranteed to all, quote, persons, not just citizens, that set foot on American sovereign soil is an embarrassment and presents an ever-increasing threat to your freedoms and mine. Let's go to the phones. Jack from Merrimack, very patient this afternoon, sir. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, this suffering, whether it's the apparently random illegal deportations or threatening law firms and their clients, or breaking government contracts under the so-called Dodge, or however they pronounce that, it has one purpose. It's to say to all Americans, and even those who aren't affected by any of this, look at the harm we can cause with impunity. We can break your business. We can pressure your business in such a way you won't be able to object to anything we can do. We can even throw your ass into a horrendous foreign prison and leave you there, even if we're ordered to bring you back, and we can do it to anyone. So you better not stop our theft of your government and the trillions it has.
I think, Jack, you just put your finger on it with that last statement. All of this is one big meta threat. Do what we say, or you're next. Thanks for the call, Jack. Have a great weekend. Charles from Milwaukee, thank you for your patience.
Hey, Maggie. Good start of the show today. These are horrible people. They wouldn't want to be treated like this. They're just rounding up innocent people. My thing is, when the Supreme Court screwed up, Supreme Court, mainstream media, they lied constantly about how horrible things were under Joe Biden. Now we have this guy. You have the Supreme Court to say that, well, you know, he's above the law, basically. He can do whatever he wants to do. And he's showing them, he's spitting right in their face, saying, what are you guys going to do to me? I'm godly. I'm the president. That's, you know, he think he's the almighty and everybody is supposed to bow down to him. My thing is, what happens when they start rounding up the young black men or black men in America because they say that they're criminals, they belong to ruthless gangs?
For nothing more than the color of their skin or the spelling of their last name. What happens when they start rounding up media people who speak out against this? What if they start rounding up people at rallies claiming that it threatens our nation's security and we'll just send them somewhere else and then be like, oh, that involves foreign policy, so you can go kick rocks? I mean, what next? Tom from Jackson, you're up, sir. Go ahead. Oh, we lost Tom there. Let me go to the text lines. I want to get so much good content coming in here, folks. Keep it coming. 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton says this. I believe that deportation of apprehension and apprehension of people based on race with no due process is why we are losing respect of the world. Allies are leaving our side. Latin America sees us as an aggressor and so is looking to the East and China for their business. Yeah, it does relate up to the tariff war, indeed. You know, to exert leverage on China, we would typically align with the EU and our allies. But we're fighting a residual trade war with them, too. How are we going to beat China if we don't have the support of our allies from a trade perspective? It reduces our leverage in every conceivable way, in every angle, whether it's foreign policy, geopolitics, a tariff and trade war, whatever it is. We have less safety, less leverage because people don't trust us anymore. Cam from Appleton says this. I have seen aerial photos of the prison in El Salvador. These people are not coming back. My partner and I pulled up the aerial Google Maps photo, and it looks like they have a section of the prison used for killing people. You can see blood staining the ground, parking lot with what looks like body bag holes a mile and a half north of the prison that look like mass graves. Yeah. Maybe they're not talking about where Mr. Abrego Garcia is because he's dead. Thank you for that. Steve from Milwaukee says, I beg for consequences. When do the consequences come? Tom from Jackson, I see you. Thank you, sir. Kurt from Madison, until the pitchforks and ropes come for the five male justices on the Supreme Court, nothing will change. We're in a danger zone for sure. I do want to thank everybody for their input on this. Do not worry. We will restart this discussion on Monday. But right now, because it is Friday and we need a breath. Oh, one other thing. Mikael Ann on YouTube corrected. I think I referenced Judas in the last segment and I meant Doubting Thomas. Thank you, Mikael Ann. Babs, I also see you on YouTube. Folks, you can always watch us on YouTube and see all of our fabulous guests as well. I've got a great one now. His name is Jacob Vanderplas. He helps run the Door County Farm for Vets. If you've been listening to me for more than 5 minutes, you know that I love me some Door Peninsula, and I love our family farms, and I love veterans. I got a family full of them. Jacob, thanks so much for sticking around. A little patience as we get our segment going here this afternoon. It's a real pleasure to have you here. Tell us first where your farm is in the Door Peninsula, and what is it all about?
First off, thank you for having me on. It's definitely an honor. I am the president and CEO of Door County Farm for Vets, and we were actually located just south of Sturgeon Bay, kind of right in between Sturgeon Bay and Algoma off of County S. And we serve to actually teach veterans how to essentially homestead, how to live sustainably. So we teach a various amount of things, how to grow produce, how to raise livestock, how to process that livestock, how to process the vegetables, how to can. We also teach things how to cultivate mushrooms, honey hives. We teach how to make homemade laundry detergent and soap. So it's definitely been very impactful for myself, and we'd like to give back to others. So, yeah, it's definitely been an honor.
Are you a vet, sir?
Yes, I did 13 years in the Wisconsin Army National Guard. I started up in Marinette with Delta Company, and I actually deployed with Bravo Company to the 127 out of Green Bay. And that was the first time they were deployed since like World War II.
World War II.
Yep. And when the 127 was transitioning home, I actually volunteered to stay for a second tour with Charlie Company 121st Field Artillery out of Sussex, Wisconsin. So I did two tours back to back. Yeah, that was definitely interesting. But
is that what got you, obviously, your lived experience serving our country and then as a veteran and your farming background led you to this work? What was lacking or missing that you could see that you wanted to help with through the Door County Farm for Vets?
There was something always missing when we came home, and it was the biggest thing was the camaraderie. And we took a vow to serve and uphold the Constitution. We swore we would never leave anyone behind on the battlefield. And then we came home. And through the transition of coming home, we all kind of separated. We lost that touch and that contact. So one of the big things that we do is we grow several crops for a very large co-op called Seasonal Harvest. And some of their biggest customers are school systems throughout Northeast Wisconsin and the Green Bay Packers. So we get to grow a lot for the Packers. But every Thursday night, we have a Thursday night harvest party. We all get together and we harvest whatever's on the list. But then we conclude the evening with a big meal. So we all sit out in the front yard or in the garage if the weather's crappy, because we've had that a time or two.
And, what, in Wisconsin and the Door Peninsula? Oh, who knew?
That is, yeah, it's definitely can change and change in a quick hurry. But the most important part is we have that meal. I don't care where you go in the world. Community is built around food. So every single Thursday we put on a meal and we all get to sit around a campfire and talk and actually be together. And we're actually able to rebuild that camaraderie. This year in 2025, we're actually launching off a Victory Garden program. So the Victory Gardens actually have a whole lot of history.
All the way back to World War I,
most prominently in World War II, because there were so many people deployed overseas that the food service system in the United States of America broke down. And once upon a time, when the government actually cared truly about us, they put together a pamphlet called it the Victory Garden that outlined all the succession planting, all the tools that you're going to need, and how to can, and the whole nine yards. And it was your patriotic duty to grow produce and to help serve and feed your neighbors. And we're bringing that back. So we've got nine veterans lined up to get Victory Gardens this year. I've got, I think, three left to do site surveys on. I spent all day yesterday going and just checking out the properties and kind of getting a game plan of where we're going to put these and where their water is and where we're going to get their compost pile and getting them fired off. So the next steps with that is, one, doing some more fundraising. We got to come up with about $9,000 yet in total to get this fired off effectively. And we're going to start breaking ground here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it is spring. It is the time for putting your hands in the dirt, get your rototillers out, figure out how your crop rotating, where the compost is going to be. It's going to smell good. I love the way the air starts to smell in the spring, Jacob. Folks, if you want to help out Jacob Vanderplas, his fellow vets, and Door County Farm for Vets, you can go to www.dcfarmforvets.org. That's www.dcfarmforvets.org. We will include that website in our show notes. You can find those. Listen back to episodes at civicmedia.us/shows. You can also find all of that on Spotify and Apple Pods. That includes our show notes, all that good stuff, wherever you like to listen to us. Couple of things, Jacob, that I just wanted to reflect back to you and call up and out. And that is, I have long joked, and it's not really joke, it's one of those glib things that I say that speaks to a truth. It's what I like to call the Last Supper theory. You don't have to believe in Jesus Christ or even God to know that this was a big deal. People have written a lot of books about it. And the central moment in that story was the fact that a man who knew his death was approaching took the time to sit down with his closest friends and break bread and try to celebrate what was good and positive. And that is this quintessential transcultural, crosses through time, that we all do this very human thing. And when we are in community with people that we feel understood by and we can break bread and be together, it always makes us feel better in a really deep kind of way. So
absolutely,
big love for that, Jacob. I really have an incredible amount of respect. We're going to continue the conversation for Jacob. Do you have a question, a comment for him? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to talk about some of the near-term upcoming events. We're even going to talk a little bit about bees. We need them bees, everybody, to make our crops grow and our victory gardens beautiful. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you have thought to yourself, how do I help out the veterans community? And if you have an interest in Wisconsin farms, we've got just the guest for you. His name is Jacob Vanderplas. He runs and is the executive director and president of Door County Farm for Vets. You can find out more at www.dcfarmforvets.org. That's dcfarmforvets.org. Again, thank you so much, Jacob, for sharing your work. We know that veterans often, particularly in what I'm going to call these most recent wars that we have had, these conflicts that folks have been deployed in forward areas, have resulted in different kinds of injuries. And yes, many of those have negatively, and for the rest of people's lives, impacted their mental health. And that remains a challenge to meet the needs of our veteran community and our veteran family members, friends, coworkers, and neighbors when it comes to their mental health needs. Was that one of the motivating factors in getting DC Farm for Vets going, Jacob?
Yeah, that was actually the single driving factor. When I got back home from Iraq, I struggled a lot, and I struggled for the better part of a decade, maybe even a bit longer. And through pure dumb luck, we ended up buying a farm, and no farming background whatsoever. We're learning as we go. But the veteran suicide rate is off the rails. The VA actually claims that the veteran suicide rate is about 17.5 veterans a day committing suicide, and that's actually inaccurate. There's an organization called Mission Roll Call that published an article in March of 2024, and you can look that up. I encourage everybody to do so. But the VA actually gets all their reporting from county level reports. And according to Motion Roll Call, not all counties actually report. So when they actually dug up all county level reporting, the true number isn't 17 and a half. It's actually between 22 and 24 a day. On top of that, the VA also does not count drug overdoses, and they also don't count single vehicle accidents. I know three of my fellow veterans that took their vehicles in front of semis or dump trucks, and that's how they chose to end their lives. So when they take that word suicide out and actually change it to self-inflicted mortality, that true number of the GWAT vets taking their own lives is between 40 and 44 every single day. So that's why we exist. And we feel wholeheartedly that your mental health on your overall health starts with the quality of the food that you consume. So everything we do teach is 100% chemical free. It's a little more work, but not really. And this is the way it's supposed to be done. So our goal is to get as much nutrient dense food into the hands of veterans as we can. And we don't want to just give the food. We want to teach the skill set so you can take that on for future generations.
Give a man a fish, teach a man to fish, vastly exactly. different things. Teach a man to fish. And here, obviously, my metaphor being farming. Farming and being together with people that understand you and some peacefulness, yes, those are very real, yep. tangible mental health supports. You add the nutritional value that's coming from that, the sense of independence. And I love the fact, Jacob, as you were describing last segment, that it's not just, hey, show up at the farm a couple of times. It's no, yep. show up at the farm, be together, have harvest dinners, eat together, train people so that they can have and experience their own yeah. fresh vegetables. If they want to raise bees or livestock, they can learn those things.
Yep.
My mom, I grew up in a family where my mother was a master gardener, huge gardens, rose bushes. And I know that I benefited through my entire young life yep. from both the sense of hard work, the great sense of reward from harvest, but also the sense of being able to eat incredibly amazing tasting yep. fresh fruits and vegetables. The first time I had a canned bean at a friend's house, I was like, what is this? Because this ain't no green bean I've ever eaten. It's gray, first of all. It's not green. Those are gray yep. beans out of the can. Jacob, y'all have some really cool events coming up soon. Tell folks about them.
Yep. So 2 weeks ago, we actually finished up our maple syrup fest. So we actually boiled off a bunch of maple syrup. It's the first time doing that. Coming up on May 10th at 2:00 right here on the farm, we're actually going to be inoculating some mushroom logs. So we got some extra logs rolling around for next year. Now, it usually takes about 12 months after inoculation before you get any actual production out of it. So we've got a great partner, Door County Mushroom Company. He comes out with all of his tools and gives us the down low and all the skinny on how this actually works with the mycelium and how it spreads through the log and how you actually get maximum production. Then on June 14th, that's actually Flag Day. When your flag is old and torn, there's an actual official process. Don't just throw it in the garbage. Can't do that. Okay. There's an official process to actually retire your flag. So we get in contact with the American Legion, the VFW, the AMVETS, and everybody that we can. And we gather all the flags into one big event. And we do the official ceremony and burn through all the flags. So it gets pretty hot and everyone gets a turn to throw some flags in. This year, we're actually adding a little addition. We're hoping to get a squad car out here and a fire truck because we're inviting a bunch of children to come on out and participate so we can actually have a flag etiquette class. So we can teach kids how to fold the flag. We can teach them, you know, when your flag is up on a flagpole, you're supposed to take it down at night. But if you leave it up at night, you need to have a light on it.
Light on it, yep.
That type of stuff. So pretty honored. We got the VFW here at Sturgeon Bay coming out to do the flag etiquette for the kids. And we're very, very excited for that.
Oh, Jacob, you come back on this show anytime you want when you got another event coming up. I will be sure to stop by the Door County Farm for Vets in Sturgeon Bay. I love the Door County. This is going to be yet another thing that I love about being up there. Best of luck to you, friend. Again, let Jamie or I know anytime you want to come back on. Thank you for what you do. And I won't say thank you for your service alone. I will say thank you for your service and make sure that I donate to DC Farm for Vets. You can do that at dcfarmforvets.org. Get involved. Don't just say thank you, folks. Jacob, all my best to you. Have a fabulous weekend. Folks, we're going to come back. It's a little time for Ask Maggie after top of the hour news, weather, and sports. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is not a test, it's not a drill. Take no prisoners, break their will.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.